Good day, everyone, whatever time zone you are located in. This is Desmond Elvis, and you are welcome to another episode of Geek Talks. So today, as I said last week, we will be talking about the things that you need to start doing in order for you to get started into freelancing, the things that you need to start out with if you are to become a successful freelancer, or if you are to build a successful seven-figure freelance business. Now, one of the first things, just like we mentioned in the last episode, will be choosing your niche. You have determined the skill that you want to offer as a freelancer. Probably, let's say you have determined that you will be a content writer. So now, you now have to choose the niche that you will be focused in. Probably you have this passion for being for medicine and the whole lot of other medical stuff. You can say that you will become a medical copywriter or health copywriter or a nutritional copywriter or a whole lot of other things. A nutritional content writer, I mean. So basically you at this point you have to choose the particular area of specialization that you would be centered in. Then also you have to be specific about the services that you offer. As a content writer, would you be a content writer who writes blog posts or case studies or product descriptions or review articles or grant proposals? You have to be specific about what you'll be offering as a copywriter. I'm not saying that you have to offer just one service, no, but you have to offer services that are related. You cannot be someone who offers everything. You can't offer everything. Even as a content writer, you can't be someone who writes grant proposals, case studies, review articles, blog posts. You can't offer it all, because even in yourself, when you do that, you know that there are particular areas where you are better at. And if you must be able to maintain your reputation as someone who is a good freelancer, if you must be able to build up that reputable brand as a freelancer, you need to focus on the areas which you are more productive with. So probably, let's say if you are good with case studies, but you really don't know how to write good blog post articles because probably you don't understand SEO, you focus your attention, your energy on case studies, then you forget about blog posts and articles. You can also add a few other things that are related to case studies, probably review articles. You understand? You can add all these things because they are related, and you can perform as well as you do with case studies, with review articles, but not with blog posts. So you offer things that will make you be more productive. You be specific that you offer this particular type of services. Now, you should understand that when you are starting up a freelance business, you are not just coming out to work for people and earn money. You are trying to build a brand. The freelance business is like any other business. You are trying to build a brand. You are trying to build a business. You are trying to build an empire. So you should not just bear in mind that you are just coming out so that you would probably make a few bucks and then you can keep yourself going. No, you're trying to build up a business. You're trying to build up a business. Freelancing is not a passive income. Freelancing pays you full time. People do freelancing full time. Freelancing pays you full time because you need to continuously work. Passive income depends on systems that you have already set in place that would continue creating wealth for you even when you do not. But freelancing, always you need to always work for you to earn your pay. So that's one thing you should bear in mind. So whatever, as you start out in your freelancing business, you should focus on the fact that you need to start thinking about branding the business, whether it's personal branding by yourself, you are branding yourself as a freelancer, or probably you want to create it as a business, a registered business or something of that sort. You need to start thinking about creating a brand that whenever probably people talk about content writers, they will call on it. Probably whenever people talk about freelance web developers, your name will be the first option on that list. Then for you to become a freelancer, one of the things that you really need to focus on if you are starting out and you want to really fast track your success is a portfolio. As a freelancer, you need a portfolio because nobody wants to hire someone who cannot prove that they can do the job. If you are a content writer and you say, "I am a content writer," you apply for a job or you pitch for a job, one of the most frequent questions people ask is, where are samples? Portfolio, where is your portfolio? Can you show me your portfolio? Can you show me samples of work that you have done for past clients? Now, one of the mistakes that most freelancers who are starting out make is, they think that without, since they are starting out, they have not gotten any job, and therefore they don't, they cannot have a portfolio. But that is a very wrong idea, because as a freelancer, when you are starting out, you can do personal projects. You can do a makeshift project. You can do you can just set out projects for yourself, work on them, give out good results, and use them as your portfolio. You can work with community services. You can do a whole lot of things. You can even offer services for free for people, because you are starting out and you need that portfolio if you must be able to get the big bags. So that's one thing that you need to understand with freelancing. You should not limit yourself because you are still starting out. Therefore, you should always focus on the fact that you need a portfolio, and therefore you should work towards getting it by offering services for free or personal projects or a whole lot of other stuff. Then another thing, why starting out as a freelancer, although this sometimes most people do not really ask for it, but one thing about marketing is, if you want to build social proof, if you want these people to trust you, if you want your clients, if you want the people that you pitch to be able to confide in you and actually believe that this guy, he can really do the work, you need to build up testimonials, you need to build up recommendations from various people, and understand that these things, they help you build social proof towards people, they help you build trust with people. So you need to also make sure that these testimonials, they highlight the services that you've offered. For example, if a testimonial from a person that you work for actually say, most of these things, the people just, most of the testimonials, people just, they just talk about the fact that the person did a good job. Now, if you want your testimonial to be very effective, you could say probably that you could ask the client to include in the testimonial the job that you've done and the results that you've gotten. For example, let's say you're just starting out as a content writer, and then you need to you need testimonials. So while you are building your portfolio, let's say you offer free services for people, you offer free blog posts for people, you offer free guest posts for people, and blog contributions for people, you need to probably in your test when you're asking for testimonials, you can tell them that probably they should say they should include the fact that you wrote so blog post for them. Probably you wrote a blog post in the niche, in the marketing niche, in the online marketing niche, about email marketing. Probably you wrote a blog post about email marketing, and then this blog post has garnered probably 300 views, and probably the blog post has increased their search engine ranking, their SERP, by a so percentage. So these things are what make people probably you've established yourself as a good freelancer, and probably you have a website that people can come to, or a landing page where people can come to and book your services. You include these testimonials there, and when people come and they see this thing, they are like, this guy actually knows what he's doing. This guy has done this thing for this particular business, for this particular website, for this particular blog. So if they can do it for these people, there is a very high possibility that they can actually get what I want. So that's the magic that portfolio and testimonials work when you're starting off as a freelancer, and even in any business as well. Then another thing as a freelancer is that you need to determine your pricing strategy, your pricing model. How would you price? One of the ways that I use is, probably I set out a particular goal for the year. Probably let's say you are out to make $1 million for the year. What I do is I divide it by the number of weeks in the year. So when you get that amount, $1 million divided by 52 weeks. Now you as a freelancer, one of the most important things to work to you need to note is that your time is your money. And I think I said this in the last episode. What you make is proportional to how much time you spend if you price well. So your pricing will determine how much you make with that time. There are people that they work fewer hours but they make more, and people work bigger hours but they make less, because the pricing strategy that they use is not working for them to get the target that they have set. So the one of the most important things that you need to notice in pricing, you should price so that you can be able to meet up your expectations. And as well as in your pricing, you should also note that you are, since you are starting out as a freelancer, you cannot price like probably someone who has been in the game for 10 years. You cannot price like someone who has been in the game for even 5 years, because you are not there yet. You are still starting out. You probably have no reviews. You probably have no testimonials. You have probably not done any really good work that people can really look at and say that this is really something that is good. So basically, you need to price yourself. I'm not saying that you should price yourself low, but you should price yourself at an optimal level, that even if someone who doesn't really want to employ you because he thinks that you're a newbie, when he sees the price and he thinks about how much you'll be saving by employing you and employing someone who is already good in the game, he thinks about that factor and he gives you the job. Understand? So that's one of the things that you really need to look at when you're pricing. Price so that you can be able to give yourself the advantage of being cheaper than people who have already been in the game. Because one very good marketing tactic is, when you are coming out as a new entrant business, you need to make your prices be lower than people who have already been there. Because if you price yourself, probably copywriter, let's say you know a copywriter who has worked for 10 years as a freelancer, and probably he prices $50 per hour. Now you come in and you are trying to price yourself the same $50 per hour. This guy already has reviews, he already has testimonials, he already has recommendations. People already, has already garnered that clientele base over a span of 10 years, and you're just coming out. Probably you just started a month ago and you're trying to price the same as him. Even now, imagine as a client, who would you pick? You certainly pick the guy who has 10 years experience, because the prices are the same. But now when you price yourself, probably say you price yourself $25 and you have a good portfolio and a few good testimonials to back you up, you see that when you set that price of $25, people tend to consider the fact that they will be saving $25 extra on this person, and probably that $25 they can use it for other expenses. So now they think about that factor and they give you the job. So as I was saying, one of the most effective pricing strategies I use is, probably say you want to make $1 million, you divide it by 52 weeks in a year. Now as a freelancer, you probably want to work 40 hours a week, or probably say 20 hours. So now that amount you've gotten from the your target divided by the number of weeks in a year, which is 52, let's say 1 million divided by 52, the amount you get, you divide it by the number of hours that you want to work. So that will give you a rough amount of your hourly rate. Now, you sometimes people offer different services, as I've said in the first one, people offer different services. So basically, you could offer various pricing for various services. Let's say probably for an article, a 500 word article, you offer this particular price. 1000 word article, you offer this particular price, because you cannot offer 500 word article at the same amount as a 1000 word article. There's an increase in your productivity, so there has to be an increase in your price. And also, probably you can do bundle packages if you're a copywriter. You can say probably for an email sequence, you probably have this particular price. And then for you to be able to build, if you know how to build funnels well enough, if you can probably add a bundle that says you can build a funnel for someone and the price will be higher than that of email sequences, and you make a whole lot more money than when you are offering just email sequences alone. So as you offer more services, you also have to diversify your pricing. You also have to make differences and changes within the pricing strategy, and also make them affordable. That's one of the things. You also have to understand who your target audience will be, the people that will employ you, or the target market of your service. You also have to understand the amount that they make. So we'll be looking at those things in further episodes. Now at this point, I would say, because I wanted to mention the fact that you need, before you, as you're becoming a freelancer, you have to start applying to for various jobs. You have to start pitching. But then we'll be looking at this in the next episode, where we'll be talking about the freelance platforms. We'll be giving a quick overview of how some freelance platforms work, and how you can start pitching and how you can create accounts on these freelance platforms. So at this point, I'll say ciao. By this, we have come to the end of this freelance podcast, and ciao, bye. Till I see you next time, this is Geek Talks.